Blog Talk Radio.
13th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, episode 104 of the series. I'm Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Mullally and myself will review this past weekend of racing and chat about whatever other exciting news of the world of modern motorsports up into the conversation. This week, we have a group of guests we look forward to bringing in. Our first guest this evening is Kevin Buckler. Buckler is an American race car entrepreneur. He founded Adobe Road Winery, Jonas Racers Group, a professional team, TRG Motorsports, formerly a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series team, and TRG AMR, heading up the North American Aston Martin Motorsports operation.
Buckler began racing at the local level in the late 1980s. He attended his first high-speed race in 1990. In 1992, Kevin and his wife, Deborah, created the Racers Group, TRG, as a Porsche Club racing business that has grown into much. 1995 saw Buckler take his first start as a professional driver. He would go on to win that race, beginning a notable career in professional motorsports.
Off the track in the same year, Kevin and his wife, along with friends, opened the Road Winery in County, California. In 2002, TRG, with support from Porsche Factory, won the GT class at the 2000 at the Rolex 24 at Daytona and the Tours of Le Mans. Buckler would lead TRG to three more GT class wins in the Rolex 24 Daytona, including overall first place in 2003. TRG holds the record for the team with the most Rolex Sports Car Series GT victories at 9 and is ranked third for the most GT pole positions at 15. In 2009, Buckler would expand his racing horizon to NASCAR with the formation of TRG Motorsports. TRG Motorsports would go on to take 106 starts in the Sprint Cup Series with two top 10 finishes and 6 starts in the Camping World Truck Series, taking 6 starts with 2 top 10 finishes and 1 top 5 finish in that series.
In 2012, TRG Motorsports announced it would not continue competing in NASCAR but would focus on Grand-Am. As Buckler and TRG continued to make a name for themselves on the track, Kevin and Adobe Road Winery established themselves as a boutique national brand. Adobe Road Wines have collected many awards and has 15 wines receiving wine spectator scores of 90 and above, including the 2008 Cabernet Sauvignon, Napa Valley, Beck Sofer, George's 3, which received a score of 94 out of 100. In 2013, Aston Martin Racing teamed with Buckler and TRG to form TRG AMR North America, which will proudly be taking the reins of Aston Martin's North American Motorsport operation.
We are now pleased to welcome Kevin Buckler back to the Thunderdome. Hello, how you doing this evening?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Can you hear me okay?
We can. Thank you very much. Can you hear us?
I got you fine.
That's good. I know you're in getting ready for this weekend's race. What's your prognosis as to how the team's going to do this weekend?
Yeah, we're here at Long Beach, loaded for bear. I'm in the trailer right now. We're just getting set up. And, I think we've got a pretty good shot this weekend. As everybody's seen, the GT racing has just elevated and elevated and elevated in the class right now. And our class called GTD has just become a full manufacturer-driven class. So everybody's on their A-game now. You're not clubbing the baby seals anymore. So everybody's got a strong team and strong driver lineups. But, we've got a factory Porsche driver, Wolf Hensler, along with Porsche specialist Jan Halen. Both of them are super qualified, super fast, and the car's good. It's a brand-new Porsche GT3R. It's the car we ran at the Daytona 24 this year. Strong crew, as usual, and hopefully some good strategy and some good luck, and we'll have a good shot.
We know that this year is the first year that Long Beach has had the full slate of cars from IMSA there. How do you think that'll change the racing deal this weekend?
You know, I see sports car racing becoming more and more popular, so we have both competing series, the Pirelli World Challenge and the IMSA International Motorsports guys here in the paddock. And so there's constantly stuff. The trucks are jumping. Obviously, this is originally an Indy car and Formula One race. I wrote a funny little piece that I had to do a couple days ago. And so I'm from down here. I grew up in Newport Beach as a kid in the 70s. And when the first race came to town, of course, my dad, this was a Long Beach was a scrimy old port town, kind of dangerous, and it was this scene. My dad said, "I know that race is coming. You cannot go up there." So of course I had to go, you know. So we went up there as 15-year-olds, and I watched the first race, and I attended the first 8 races in a row. But I'll tell you, the second year, which was the first year of Formula One, with nothing but a chain link fence between me and Niki Lauda's Ferrari, you know, screaming by from maybe 8 or 10 feet away. I mean, I think the hook was set. I would say this race was a catalyst for me.
How do you feel that IMSA's going nowadays? It seems like they're picking up, as you said, they're doing really well spectator-wise. I've been to both of the endurance races so far this year at Daytona and at Sebring. They both seem like they were very well attended. How do you think they're doing overall? Do you think they're riding a wave of success?
I think they are, and I think it was a calculated plan. I think all of us several years ago probably would have wished it would have happened a little faster, but, you know, I've been part of this family for 25 years. This is our 26th year of professional motorsports, with sports car racing and early days of IMSA when I started driving. So, you know, watching them slowly but surely sort of put their plan in place and then assemble just a world-class team of professionals that work for the series, and then the venues and everything else we're doing, you know, it's really great. And then watching the GTD class, which was sort of the baby class, become kind of the class right now, and all the manufacturers are leaning in. It's heady. I mean, it's pointy at the front end of the grid, but that's what it's all about if you want to come here and you want to show yourself. So this is a really great operation these guys put together, and it's just nice to be here with them and at Long Beach.
We mentioned in the introduction a bunch of the history of the team and how you've been involved in all different sorts of racing over the years. This weekend is the Trans Am race at Homestead. I was wondering if you have any interest in that in the future, possibly.
You know, I don't. I don't wish any racing series good or bad luck if I'm not involved. It's just something I'm not interested in. And you know, sometimes I do look and say maybe sometimes the pie's being sliced a little too many places. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on between the IMSA, the different classes, the Pirelli World Challenge, a lot of stuff still obviously on the SECA side. So we would not have any time for that for us. And it was a great, great, great class in its heyday. But I'm not sure that heyday will come back again. But, you know, we wish them the best.
What are the team's future plans for expansion into in IMSA? I know that you've had a lot of success with Aston Martin recently. What's your future hold?
Yeah, you know, we've really adopted a model the last few years of staying very diverse. We kind of have to. Survival these days in professional motorsports is going to be probably, unless you are aligned with a manufacturer who's paying the bills, then you better make sure you have a six-legged table, because, you know, we do a lot of things from an entry-level club racing. First time ever a guy goes on the track to experience a bucket list. We do corporate events, and we're down here at the Porsche Experience Center. It's the beautiful new facility that Porsche built. We have the whole thing. TRG, the racers group, has it purchased. We bought it out for Friday, and I have 75 guests there driving all the different Porsche cars on their tracks, and then we're doing an Adobe Road wine dinner with all those guests. And I guess that's kind of part of our expansion, is that, you know, we have this really amazing project going with the new winery in Petaluma that we're building. We have new investors involved, and we're right in the heart of something very special happening in the wine world and in Petaluma. And we combine that with what we do in motorsports. You know, lifestyle is big now. And, you know, if we want to race at a high level, we want to perform off the track at a high level. And to me, that's where the success of professional motorsports is going to be, because it's all sort of coming together in one big potpourri of opportunity now. It's not just about, you know, stickers on the car or going fast. You have to do a lot of things to make it successful.
Well, let me throw you up to my co-host, Michael Mullally, who has a couple questions for you as well.
Sure.
So, you have a lot of racing experience. What is the craziest track you've ever competed on?
Craziest track? Wow. Well, crazy in one way is that would be Le Mans in France. Crazy because, I mean, it's a you know, world-class event, but most of the year, most of the track is public streets and farms and roads. And, you know, when I went there in 2002 with my eyes wide open, first of all, it's crazy because when you think you're going really fast and you look at your lap time and you're 10 seconds off the pace and you got to find that 10 seconds, that's just an unheard of number, although the track is a 4-plus minute lap. But when I was driving on my second lap, you know, doing 185 miles an hour on the back stretch, I swear I looked over and saw a cow grazing on the side of the road. I called it into my crew chief, and they checked with the officials. And indeed, one of the farmer's cows had gotten out. He was grazing on the side of the road. And I'm like, that freaking thing is so big, that'll kill me if it comes out in the middle of the road. So, that and the pedestrians who just kind of walk around sometimes. And but, of course, you're in the middle of, you know, hallowed grounds there at Le Mans, and especially at night and especially in the rain, and especially there's not a lot of lights. So I'd say that was probably the craziest.
So what inspired your creation of the TRG group?
Yeah, good one. I was involved in a company that I sold early on, real estate development, and I was always a car guy. And the inspiration of the Racers group was that I would always have a collaborative effort with the people that were involved, whether they're involved with us internally or people that we partnered with as sponsorship. You know, I didn't call it Buckler Racing. It just isn't my style. And so that became the TRG, the Red Lightning Bolt. It has evolved into several things, along with the Aston Martin program, the Porsche, many years of Porsche program, the stuff we did in Camping World, the stuff we did in Sprint Cup, the stuff we did with Lamborghini, and even the Pontiac, the really famous Pontiac year that we won all three championships with the new GTO. That was how it started, and that's how we've continued, and we will keep that diversity going and continue to try to recreate and invent new opportunities around motorsports.
So there's a lot to choose from, but as of right now, what is your favorite sports car?
Boy, there is a lot to choose from, isn't there? I think the favorite sports car still for me is going to go back to my roots, be it the Porsche. They do such an amazing job of all of the different models that are out there. You know, the new 911R, it's that lightweight purchase from the dealership. You know, maybe, you know, the each dealer might get one. Amazing, you know, still uses an H pattern, still uses a clutch, 4 liter, 500 horsepower. My friend has one. I drove it the other day. I was laughing though. I said, "Thanks a lot, buddy. Let me drive it in bumper to bumper traffic." So, but and then, you know, I just drove the 918 a couple weeks ago, which was really amazing. So, I'd say generally all the new Porsche models are pretty cool.
And my final question is, do you see you guys doing anything else here with NASCAR in the near future or the distant future?
You know, I probably don't, although I stay very kind of in tune and plugged in. I loved my time over there. I loved everything that we learned, and we learned a lot. And the friends that I made that are still there, both with the series and, you know, the team owners and drivers, and especially on the series side. I mean, what a quality group of people starting at the top, you know, Brian and Mike Kelton and all the people that work there. But everybody, you know, welcomed us when we came. You know, I thought it was going to be the polar opposite. You know, we get kind of pushed out in the corner because we were a single little sports car team. But it was pretty cool to watch us, you know, miss our first reunion. We won the 24 Hours of Daytona in 2009, and then we came to qualify for the 500, and we didn't even make the show. I mean, it was the most disheartening thing you'd ever seen. But we picked ourselves up by the bootstraps and pointed the trailer to California, got rid of a few guys, brought a few new guys in, hired a driver, and took off. And then, you know, we made the California Speedway race. We made Phoenix. We made Las Vegas and finished 14th. We made Martinsville, and by that we were in the top 35, and it was a pretty cool moment to see this little team, you know, take off. We were there for 3 years, and the problem is that, you know, again, because of the different generations of equipment, the top guys have control on everything, and the guys in the back will never be able to get the good stuff, and it's just been that way for a long time, and that needs to change. Maybe it has changed now, and I'm not with it, but it wasn't the way when I was racing. So, but I would love to be back at some capacity, but it's not on the immediate horizon right now.
I have one final question for you. There was a late development in the SCCA this afternoon where their president and CEO was sort of abruptly let go. What's your team? How will that affect the SCCA for this season going forward?
You know, I'm not familiar with it, so I probably shouldn't and can't comment. I don't know what happened. I'm sure there was a reason. That's a you know, premier position in command of a pretty big empire. So I honestly do not know, so I apologize.
No problem. I figured that since you had the past experience with the SCCA, you might have some insight. But thank you very much for your time and your honesty, and we wish you lots of luck this weekend and for the rest of the season as well.
Thanks for having us on, guys. Again, amazing time running with you guys in the days with the NASCAR side. Love still watching all the races. Keeping my eye on all the other stuff we're doing. And TRG and Adobe Road Winery are combining into some sort of funny little powerful mechanism, and I'm watching it evolve in front of us. So we'll do it this weekend, and hopefully have a good run at Long Beach. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. Have a nice evening.
All right, guys. All right. Bye-bye.
Once again, that was Kevin Buckler, the head of the Racers Group, and we thank him very much for taking the time out of his busy schedule there in California to come on our program this evening. We've got about 20 minutes until our next guest. We're going to take a small break here and listen to a selection from Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew. We're all crazy about sprint cars. Once again, that was Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew calling, singing Crazy About Sprint Cars. As we've got a little bit of time before our next guest, what was your latest racing adventure? I saw you posted some things on Facebook over the weekend.
Yeah, so last weekend, we spent the whole weekend in Royal City, which is about half hour from me. And it was pretty much just whoever wanted to show up. There was like an assortment of cars from Honda to Mazda to Mitsubishi, and they showed up and they raced, and it was just kind of interesting because there really wasn't any like way that they set them up. You just lined up and you raced each other, and the person next to you was the person you got stuck racing. And it was kind of cool because, you know, there were these cars and they had diesel trucks and they had a couple drag cars that actually showed up that were like actual drag racing cars. They had bikes, drag bikes, pretty much an assortment of everything there. So it was pretty cool.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
I think this weekend my father and I will be heading down to Homestead. I mentioned it briefly with Kevin Buckler there. We're going down for the Trans Am race, which will be held this weekend. They've got the qualifying and practice going on there on Saturday, and they've got a couple of races on Sunday. It's the Trans Am series, both the TA and the TA2, as well as they've got Formula Ford there, which is the largest open wheel racing organization on the planet now. So I know he's kind of biased towards his section of sports car racing, but I think that in the past few years, the Trans Am series has really taken off. They haven't got fan support they used to have, and I know that's part of what he was saying, but I think that the fact they're trying something different, they've got a new management team there in place with the SVRA, the Sports Car Vintage Racing Association is affiliated with them now, and the fact they've got Formula Ford there competing as well. Hopefully that helps him out a little bit. I understand where he's coming from with the fact that there's a lot of different cars all basically running the same idea of cars. But I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing for the sport, especially in the age where where fan support seems to be slipping in certain parts of auto racing. And I think that if there's a lot of good product on the racetrack, then people will go out and support it no matter what sort of sanctioning body is behind it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out.
I know the tire companies are also sort of hedging their bets because they're not only the sponsor. Pirelli is not only the sponsor of the series there that's racing in Long Beach this weekend, but they're also the title sponsor of the Trans Am series as well. So that's definitely something. I'm also kind of interested to hear a little bit more about how the president of the SCCA, how that all worked out. I know that's going to be the third SCCA president in a year who's taking over in a week or so. So the SCCA definitely has some issues. They've lost some of their professional sanctioning things. They used to sanction the Pirelli series that's racing there in California. I know they're no longer sanctioning that. They've moved to, I believe it's the same series, the same sanctioning body that used to sanction IndyCar is now sanctioning them, USAC, the United States Auto Club. So that's there's a lot of changes going on there in the Pirelli series, and it'll be interesting to see how that all works out as well. SCCA does have a huge amount of racing. Their pro division is separate from their general division, but they're going to presidents every few months. So when's your next big race?
Around here, the next race will be the Apple Cup, which is in Yakima, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to try and race Hermiston season opener May 6th. Hopefully. So till then, I'm just spectating, but hopefully we something out on the track for that race.
Mm-hmm. I think I should just keep forwarding you all the releases from Jesse Gross, the guy we've had on the series a few times, who now does the marketing and promotions for his own company there in sports cars. And you can save up a few tens of thousands of dollars and go racing in a in a sports car somewhere in the world.
That would be great if I won the lottery here soon.
Yeah. That should be a goal. Start investing in lots of lottery tickets. You'll
yeah.
be all set.
How come you don't go do it?
That's okay. I've had my little driving school thing. That's quick enough for me. Plus, I've seen what happens to the people who win the lottery and that sort of thing. They actually had a NASCAR team a few years ago that was entirely funded by a guy who won the lottery there, and that only lasted for a couple of years. I think the old adage, the way to make a small amount of money in a racing is to start out with a large amount of money, and I think he pretty much spent all of his money. So it
wow.
works sometimes, but other times it's quite as good. So did you watch any of the racing past weekend? I didn't see any of it. Not one lap this past weekend, because I was just getting back from from my week's vacation and wasn't really into the auto racing deal yet.
No, actually, I didn't get a catch. Well, I caught a little NHRA, but besides that, I didn't really get a catch anything because I was pretty much in Royal City all weekend, so... Yeah, I wasn't really feeling the TV.
I saw that the past guest we've had on the program, Leah Pritchard, she now has a nationwide Dodge ad that's on the air that sort of connects between the Fast and the Furious and the NHRA. So that's kind of cool. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I'll definitely look. Yeah.
It's kind of cool. And if you didn't know who Leah Pritchard was off the top of your head from watching her on the NHRA thing or whatever, you wouldn't know who it is. But if you know, then it's kind of neat. She's basically the spokesperson for Dodge now, so that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, maybe I'll YouTube. It's probably on YouTube, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it should be under the Dodge YouTube page. You should be able to find it there. The other kind of motorsports thing that's going on here in the Palm Beaches this weekend is the Barrett Jackson auction that kicked off today. It runs through Saturday. It's a little bit different schedule than what they've run in the past, because normally they start on Friday and they run Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So apparently this year they're trying something a little different. You can find it on TV on Discovery. It's also, I believe, on Velocity. They're sort of going back and forth with the times on that. They do have some people who have covered the thing in the past. You've got Bob Varsha on there, which is kind of cool. You've got some of the other Rick DiPerulas on there for the coverage. I did watch a couple hours of that this afternoon. I was actually thinking about going out there, but the weather here was a little iffy, and I don't like being caught out in iffy weather, especially out at the fairgrounds where they can be a real mess if we get too much rain. But luckily, the weather held off, at least down here, for that. So hopefully they had a good day. It looked like there were a lot of people there today. There were some great deals. The top car that sold only sold for like $20,000 this afternoon. So as the normal thing, you can get a lot of good deals on the first day of the show. I think there might be good deals tomorrow as well. So head out there about noon at the fairgrounds, and be sure to catch it on Discovery and on Velocity if you're able to. I'm also going to be doing a little bit of coverage for it on Speedway Digest, probably like a wrap-up thing, either on Saturday or Sunday. I also did a piece on it, a preview piece on Palm Beach Happening that you can check out. That was posted yesterday. So be sure to check out the Barrett Jackson auction this weekend. What would be your dream car if you were able to win the lottery or get a lot of money from people and head out to the Barrett Jackson auction?
My dream car. I don't know if they'd have it out there, but my dream car as of right now is probably can't decide on what year, but probably either a 2004 to 2015 Subaru Impreza WRX STI. So they're expensive, but a little more practical than those cars out there.
Well, you never know. They had a couple of those there last year. So could be. But
wow.
I think that all sorts of, pretty much anything with wheels you can find out there. They had horse carriages last year. They had trailers for boats. And then they had all the sort of electric cars and everything, too. So it runs the gamut, just like every other auto auction. It's got the really, really high-end stuff that you see on the TV, and it's got the everyday things that may or may not show up on the broadcast there.
What about you?
My dream car, you'd have to have a dream set of gas things to go along with it, because I don't think I'd have the money to keep fuel in it. But I kind of like the Bentley Continentals. I like the one that they're using in Fast and the Furious to sort of tie that in again. But I think that get me a Bentley Continental, I can drive it down the street, and it's basically like driving a tank. It goes really fast, but it sucks the gas out of its tank too. So that's why I need a gas truck to be pulling along next to me every so often too. Our next guest this evening is Gus Dean. Dean has been racing since he was 6 years old. The Bluffton, South Carolina driver has progressed from racing go-karts to the challenging X1R Pro Cup Series. Like many young drivers, he started his racing career competing in go-karts, where he was the 2007 American Kart Racing Association Junior 2 National Champion.
In 2008, he was the Rookie of the Year in the Allison Legacy Series, where he finished 15th in a field of 53 drivers. He followed that up in 2009, where he was named the most improved driver by finishing 10th in points. Even though he missed 6 races due to a broken knee, where he had surgery and rehabilitation, he made the transition from Allison Legacy cars to super late models in 2010. He only competed in 14 Legacy races, where he had 2 wins and 8 top 5 finishes. One of those wins came at North Wilkesboro Speedway.
Gus made the full-time switch to super late models in 2011, where he ran speed weeks at New Smyrna Speedway and finished in the top 10 every night, with 2 of those being a top 5 finish. He also competed in the Pass Series and Super 6 Series, where he had 9 top 5, and 16 top 10 finishes. He also won Rookie of the Year in the Super 6 Series.
In 2012, Dean started competing in the X1R Pro Cup Series, where he finished 5th in points with 5 top 5 and 8 top 10 finishes in 8 starts. He improved on that success with the 2013 season, where he finished 3rd in the final points after 9 top 5 runs in all 14 of his starts. He was in the top 10.
We're still standing by for Gus Dean. He should be calling in any moment now. But he's had quite a career this year. He's been racing in the Cars Series, as well as racing. He's going to be making his ARCA debut, I believe, later in the year. So he's pretty much an up-and-coming guy. And he's going to be talking a little bit about the ARCA race this evening when we talk to him. I believe he's going to be racing in Nashville coming up pretty soon. So while we're standing by for Gus Dean, let's go ahead and listen to another selection from Ron Pastana and the pit crew. Let's see. In the Zone.
Check the gauges and pull the belt tight.
Once again, that was In the Zone by Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew. You can find them on, I believe they're on YouTube, on iTunes rather. Just type in Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew and you'll be able to download a wide variety of songs by them. So be sure to check that out. We're still standing by for Gus Dean, who we're hoping to have on the show this evening. He was confirmed to be on the program, but he's apparently running a little late. So we're going to give him as much time as he needs to call in. If we need to have him rescheduled, we will do that without any issue whatsoever. So what racing are you looking forward to this weekend?
I'm not entirely sure. No, I've really been feeling the NHRA lately, which is weird because usually I really keep up on NASCAR. And I watch it, like, every weekend, usually. And I think I'm kind of more into NHRA as of late than I am NASCAR.
Okay. I haven't really been following any races all that much this season, to be honest. I have been throwing to a couple more races. We did go out to Sebring this year. We haven't been there in a couple of years, and that was pretty awesome. There's definitely a different crowd there in Sebring than there has been the past, and that's not necessarily bad. It's just the way it is. But I stayed. I might be going this weekend to Trans Am. I might try and stop out at Barrett Jackson either tomorrow or Saturday, depending on my schedule and how things work out. So it should be an interesting motorsports weekend anyway. I know there's always a couple of racing things that go on there at Barrett Jackson. I'm pretty sure that Rick Hendrick will be out there in the weekend. And he always has a charity thing that he sponsors when he's out there. So that'll be kind of cool. Also, in a slightly racing-related thing, this weekend they're going to be taping episodes of American Ninja Warrior at the Daytona International Speedway. In driving distance of the street, right out. Episode on Punch Chat this afternoon. Yeah, get up on Thursday. You might want to look up on. I know they had available for 3 p.m. taping. So if you're a true night, overnight to midnight shift type person, you might want to check that out. They do have also some standby tickets available for the 8 a.m. taping, and might be kind of interesting to check that out, especially if they're going to be in Daytona. I know they've got a few NASCAR drivers are going to be heading out there this weekend as well, so that might be interesting. I know Ricky Stenhouse tried to compete in American Ninja Warrior and failed in the first obstacle last time he was on. So he might make it a little bit further this year. You never know. It airs sometime in June, I believe. Once again, we're holding out for Gus Dean to be on the show this evening. He was originally scheduled to be on here. It's been I know he's got a lot of things going on in his career, but we're hoping to hear from him shortly. So you're going to be driving up to Hermiston for the race there?
Yeah. Hopefully, if we don't race, we'll probably go up and watch. But it's about a 3-hour drive from where we are. But there's a couple cars from Ephrata that want to go up there with us. So we're hoping to take our county race cars and go up there and beat everybody at Hermiston, but we'll see how that actually works.
How's your sprint car thing going? I know you were trying to get into a sprint car sometime this year. Did that ever, anything of that ever pan out?
Well, the owner of the car ended up hurting himself. And then something about his work, because I guess he really hurt himself. and then he didn't get back to work for quite a while. So that set him back a while. And then our racetrack closed, our local one, so he wanted to do, like, some racing kind of outside of Washington. Like, he wanted to go to, like, California and places like that. And I couldn't, like, I just simply couldn't. I would have loved to, but there was no way that everybody that supported us at our local track would be able to travel with us. And I couldn't go, like, on my own without, like, my dad and my mom and, you know, my brother and my nieces and nephews and everybody that came and supported us every weekend at our local track. So I kind of strayed away from that a little bit, as much as it sucks, because I really wanted to, but there was no way I could just go do it by myself without, you know, my family being there, something spectacular happened, or something bad happened. So that was kind of a deal breaker for me.
Well, that's no good.
No, but such is life, I guess. Now I just need to make a lot of money to go race those sports cars.
There you go. See? Start up your GoFundMe account to put Michael Mullally in a P3 car. You better buy your own sprint car that you can travel around the country with.
Yeah, that would be a little more practical, I think, than, you know, raising tens of thousands of dollars to go race a sports car, which are probably equally as cool, but my heart belongs in a sprint car.
Well, once again, we're sorry we weren't able to bring you the interview with Gus Dean this evening, but I will go ahead and contact his people and hopefully we'll be able to get him rescheduled either for next week or for some time down the road. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. Please check out the racing news section. I haven't been contributing quite as much over the past almost 2 weeks now, but I do intend to put out a few more articles about some Formula One things, because I do have a contact there at Haas F1 now. So we're hoping, I'd like to thank Tim Despain for that, the host of The Pit Stop with Tim Despain. We can be heard on the Speedway Digest Radio Network every Tuesday night. Be sure to check that out. But as I stated, I do have a contact with Haas F1 now. I'm going to be posting a few interviews with them on the racing news section. I'm also going to be covering a little bit more sports car stuff. I'm probably going to put out a piece about the Barrett Jackson on there this weekend as well. So be sure to check out the racing news section of SpeedwayDigest.com. In addition, if you're a fan of South Florida, and who isn't, be sure to check out the latest news and information about our slice of paradise at Palm Beach Happening, which we found by visiting palmbeach.happeningmag.com. As I stated during the program this evening, I did put out two motorsports articles this week about that, about the one about Barrett Jackson, and another one about the little American Ninja Warrior thing happening at Daytona National Speedway, which is kind of a quasi motorsports thing, I suppose. But you can still check that out there. Also, I'm going to have a few more articles on Palm Beach Happening covering the cruise that we were on last week. So be sure to check that on Saturday. And also follow Palm Beach Happening at PB Happening on Twitter.
Thank you for listening, and we look to seeing you again on April 13th in the Thunderdome as we once again discuss the major issues in the world of modern auto racing.
Have a nice evening.